Good morning. Before I get started, thank you, Aaron and Tony, for your wonderful musical contributions. Tony's going to be playing Autumn Leaves later, and I just wanted to put a shameless plug in for a Vesper service that we will be holding on Tuesday night from 7 to 9 that's going to be focusing in on the metaphor of trees and life cycles. So, just throwing that out there. So, good morning. I am Sue Flynn, the ministerial intern, and I'm delighted and honored to have a chance to be up here in front of you talking about my journey with abundance. Three people who have shown me abundance right off the top have been Susan Ergang, Robin, and Reverend Kim. Susan, she's all things office, if you don't know her. It's her birthday today, is probably one of the most resourceful people I've met. Robin just seems to infuse joy into every situation she finds herself in. And Kim, well, I find myself in awe and excitement to be learning from her. One of the gifts, as many of you know, is she has the ministry of words in such a beautiful way. I hope by the end of the year, some of that will rub off on me. In the meantime, I will take my cue from Ray Bradbury, who says, "We are cups constantly and quietly being filled. The trick is knowing how to tip ourselves over and let the beautiful stuff out." I used to think of abundance as only something that was defined in physicality and financial wealth. It was a straightforward concept that for me represented having security. To be abundant was to have all your ducks in a row. Three of the ducks were a good job, a good home, and a good spouse. We all have probably very different associations with what abundance is for each of us. But I would wager that there is at least a few other people in the room that would connect with security and wealth as a reasonable definition. Do we have any takers? You're going to hear this month's theme word a lot in this reading. You have the choice to ignore it, or I invite you to try and experiment with me. Think about the people, places, or experiences in your life that might contribute to your idea of abundance. Whenever you hear the word, use it as a touchstone to think about that. So I wanted to begin with a reading by Carrie McDonald, who is a chief operating officer at the UUA. It's called "No One Tells You." There was a period in my life when within 3 months, all my major relationships changed. The most joyous of these was getting married. Sarah and I had dated for 3.5 years, and I proposed to her at a holiday party. For all the relationship advice out there, it's impossible to find anything helpful on the most basic decision of all, whether to commit to spending the rest of your life with someone. We married at the First UU Church of Columbus, where we were both active members surrounded by friends and family who loved us dearly. It served as a fitting goodbye because we moved across the country 2 weeks later. They say that moving is one of the most stressful transitions of life, but that misses the point. The stressful part isn't the saying goodbye or move itself. It is the ripping of your life away from its roots. And it plays out over months and years, setting new life patterns, finding new friends. These things take time and require a lot of soul work. You have to go out and make them happen. No one tells you that. 2 months after we moved, my parents, who had been married for 31 years, called us up on a Sunday afternoon and said, in a very matter-of-fact sort of way, that they were getting divorced. I grieved as I hadn't grieved for anything or anyone before over the loss of our nuclear family. Here again, the 1.67 gazillion metric tons of advice and self-help books were totally useless for an adult child of divorcing parents. Surely I can't be the only one. Like moving, my parents' divorce started with a dramatic shift, but the real change and struggle occurred over time. It forced me to question the assumptions upon which I had based my life. Should I make sacrifices for my career? Or should my partner's needs be a priority? How can I raise a family, still maintain my own well-being or my marriage? Is there such a thing as security? How do we keep in touch with what is deepest and most profound in us? Re-examining the principles that guide my life has given me a new take on my constantly evolving understanding of the person I want to become and the relationships I want to have. It has been a labor of love and sometimes a lonely one. No one said it would be easy, and this time they were right. So Carrie got married, moved across the country, and his parents got divorced. All major life transitions. My life has had a few too. My ducks went from being in a row to scattered. The stable, secure life of 12 years of a home and a spouse done. The journey began, and along with it, the expansion of my own definition of abundance. The house I had so diligently feng shuied previously, so full of love, was now abundant with furniture, stuff, memories that some days seemed to swallow me whole. I was swimming in debt and grief. This, my friends, is also abundance. Trying to process going from we to me was terrifying. I'm a twin, so I've been with someone since 9 months before I was born, so. I was reviewing my life and relationships and wondered how I failed so abundantly. Wrestling with this uninvited house guest loneliness, little did I know the abundance of loneliness I felt was there to teach me how to be alone. I was so sad I had a hard time eating. Now, you know it's bad when I can't eat because I'm someone who loves food. I would get up and go outside and spend time with the birds, force some food down, go to work, come right back home to spend more time with the cats and nature. Nature. It was abundant. I noticed everything, the changes of light each day, if the plants look different from the last sitting. I even had a name for the cardinal that would visit me every morning. Nature, what a comfort. I would always be amazed each day I woke up that the sun rose and the cardinal was its usual perky self. Grateful for the cycles of nature that kept on keeping on regardless of my circumstance. It was also a rich time of prayer for me. I had a lot of conversations with spirit and my cats. Sometimes I was raging. Sometimes I was tear-soaked. Other times I was just talking. And do you know what? Slowly, loneliness packed up his bags, and alone moved in. What a luxury. I could play my music whenever I wanted. I could eat the food I wanted to. I could keep my own hours. What was I so afraid of anyways? Oh yeah, losing my financial security, kind of a big deal. And you have arrived status, also a very big deal. I did think my life was over, but slowly I had realized that it had just begun. Beginning to enjoy time on my own, the music, the silence, nature, gratitude for the little things crept into my heart. It had been 8 months and the house hadn't sold. I would worry over all the repairs that I could not afford, cursing the House Hunter shows for creating an impossible standard. I decided to try a new realtor and began to thank the house for the shelter in all of its fine qualities. I also applied to the seasonal job at Star Island, one I had held 15 years earlier and was accepted. The house sold before my start date, and my brother's family came to help me move what the auction company didn't sell. My niece and I were both a little overwhelmed by the echoey rooms just a few Christmases before she had taken her first steps in my living room. I picked her up and I told her I needed her help. And believe me, I did need her help at that moment. We went into each room and said, "I love you, thank you, and goodbye." She wanted to include the closets too, so we ended up opening up all the closets as we were going around. And then after that, we walked around the entire house outside and left little treats for the woodland creatures in the corners of the property. We both felt better when we finished this goodbye blessing. There was an abundance of goodbyes. There was leaving a place, leaving a job, leaving a home and a family. I lived in a friend's apartment that was under construction, which I found humorously appropriate since my life was going through a major overhaul. I then found myself living in one room on the fourth floor of an island hotel. I was surrounded by an abundance of ocean and seagulls and 20-somethings. I had to laugh at how I went from four bedrooms to a room with a view. I have lived in attics, basements, and several apartments, an abundance of addresses. I have driven cross-country several times with my sweet feline Ada. And the last time we were traveling a 12-hour trip, I was calculating the cat, the car, and myself had about 65 years altogether. These are the things you think about with 12 hours of driving. There's nothing more freeing than an open road, your favorite tunes, and a yowling cat. She's actually become a better traveler. I had the opportunity of trying to remember how to play the viola in a community orchestra and visiting seminaries on a camping trip with my father. I got to go to church with my mom and laugh at how terrible our voices sounded together. My mom's voice, a tight, high soprano, and mine, a deep alto. Trying to belt out Spirit of Life is something to see. An abundance of family. I've worked as a chaplain, a tour guide, a house cleaner, a healer, a feng shui consultant, and randomly in a designer clothes section, an abundance of work. When I went to grad school, there was an abundance of caffeination, study, books, soul searching. It's a little ironic that letting go of my old definition of abundance, safety, security, and stability allowed the bounty of life to flood in ways I never would have imagined. Recognizing the contrast feeds my gratitude for what is offered each moment. Going from having seniority in a nonprofit job to being an expert of starting again, and again, and again, allowed me to relearn humbleness. Knowing heartache and the grief of divorce allows for a bigger laugh in the joy-filled moments of life. Doing a life review and overhaul allowed me to be very clear about what I did and did not want in my future relationships and another chance to move towards what I did. And people, I have been so moved by the people I have met, chosen family and re-met family members through this journey I've been on. This internship wouldn't be so meaningful to me had I not experienced a few lackluster ones. Since arriving on UUCWC's doorstep, that acronym always gives me so much anxiety trying to say all the right letters in the right order, just so you know. I have been overwhelmed by the hospitality and kindness in UU values that are in action every day here. Whether you have a mansion of many rooms or just a small place to rest your head, we all have a room with a view in our life. If you choose to recognize the abundance in our midst, is abundance something that you have to be born with to have? Not at all. It becomes yours the moment you become aware of it. As my friend's southern grandmother exclaims, I can't do the southern accent, so if anybody's good at that, feel free to join in. My friend's southern grandmother exclaims whenever someone confides a grief or joy in their life, she always says, it's all a part of it. And you know what? It really is. Thank you. Blessed be, and may it be so.